This is the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground, Wiretap Wednesday, podcast episode 87. The date is April 27, 2016. Call and leave a message for the Sullys at 1-856-67-SULLY. That's 1-856-677-8559.
This call is now being recorded.
Hey, this is Gunn in Washington, D.C.
And this is Tech, actually just at lunch.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was going to be more exciting. Do you want to add, like Kyoto, Japan?
No, just flat out eating some pitas and a lunch at a parking lot.
Awesome. All right, well, we have a lot of little things to run down. For one thing, we have a big report from the Philippines from Joshua. He has sent us a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to get on the RSS feed, get up on iTunes probably tomorrow morning. So keep an eye out for that about Duterte, the presidential candidate who's with the death squads and the rape joke and the Comlink, Commission on Elections in the Philippines got hacked, and so like half of the people who contribute and help out the podcast, whether we're talking about my wife / producer or Josh or one of our newest contributors over in the Philippines, Rika Ramirez, we're all pretty well affected by this data breach, and the Comlink breach is pretty ridiculous because everybody who is registered to vote in the Philippines had their data just slacked online. So check that story out. It's up on thepodcast.com now. Like I said, we'll try to get the podcast recordings that Joshua made up onto the iTunes feed just as soon as we can get them reformatted and clumped together, so probably tomorrow morning. And also, I finally, and Tech, you should be proud of me, I finally got the first Secret Society podcast up.
Did you? Yay, cool.
Yes.
I saw the post come through. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Yes. Well, you've heard the highlights from the interview and that, because we just had some fun joking around. Everyone should go listen to it. I kind of just make fun of the misconception of why people think secret societies are scary, what they really are, and then I start talking about the Infinite Order of Oddfellows, which is a really awesome charitable organization, and then but is also a secretive private fraternity, but actually is something that's very open, very good and charitable. And then I talked about another group that a lot of people see as scary and actually is a lot of what people accuse other fraternities of being, but the weird misconception on that one is it's not secret. And of course I'm talking about the OTO, which is an exoteric order, meaning for public consumption, for to be broadcasted out, which is what the picture on the thumbnail of it is actually from a play that OTO members put on for public consumption, which is a lot of the stuff that they do is for everyone to see. So it's not technically a secret society. There are secret elements, but it's mostly a public group. So yeah, please check that out. Check what is going on in the world of news and technology.
Well, interestingly, anytime a celebrity dies, and you and I talk about it frequently with on the podcast, but anytime a celebrity dies under mysterious or unknown circumstances, I get a rash of viruses. not me, but my clients do. And it's because people are looking for that salacious little bit of info that's not going to be on the main news sites. So Prince passed away this past week, and I don't think we talked about him on this podcast, did we?
No.
And we talked about him.
We should bring that up because I
everybody's talking about Purple Rain. I can name three other of his songs that I liked better than Purple Rain, but it was probably the one that had the most.
Sorry.
That's the one that gets stuck in my head all the time. But did you know he wrote Sinead O'Connor's "Nothing Compares to You"?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. We heard a cover of that recently, and I can't remember who did that cover, but my wife was like, "Oh, that's Sinead O'Connor's song." So now I have to, that throws layers upon layers. Foo Fighters covered a song of his. What was it called? Grind. I can't remember the name of the. It's the one about the sex fiend.
But anyway, so we both, you and I know, quoted Prince songs back and forth. The Prince songs used on the Batman soundtrack from the 1989 Batman were fundamental to my. My early 90s music repertoire. I wore out the cassette from the Batman soundtrack that I had back then. It shows you how old it was. It was a cassette, not a CD. I've been absolutely swamped since that point because everybody decides to get a virus as soon as that because everybody's Googling for the latest, greatest, salacious bit of info, and so everybody in the world has been getting viruses. So that has been my world, and I've been so swamped.
TMZ broke the story, which is not exactly we were talking about how news sites have those worms that get in through the advertising, and we're talking premium news sites will have those crummy worms that'll get in there. Just the fact when I heard TMZ, I was like, man, I don't want to open that in a browser.
Yeah, definitely. Have I recommended uBlock Origin on the podcast?
Yes, you did. Go ahead and plug it in.
If you're not running uBlock Origin and it's not uBlock.org, make sure it's by Gore Hill or if you're on Chrome or Raymond Hill if you're on Firefox. Honestly, I ought to see if he'll do an interview with me for the podcast. He's a security guy and just does a fantastic, lightweight, easily whitelistable, very configurable blocker that will block 99% of this stuff. But anyway, that's been my world. Being off Twitter for the past 2 days, I missed the funniest event. Did you see that? Beyonce's new album comes out, Lemonade. This is some Becky with purple hair, or no, perfect hair. Her army of fans who call themselves, I'm going to get it wrong. Their symbol is bees. They're Beyonce, whatever. They're the hive, and the woman that most likely was being referred to was a fashion designer named Rachel Roy, who looks like Kim Kardashian. But they all went on full attack on Rachel Ray, who is famous for 30-minute meals and saying delish and OVOO on the Food Network channel and is basically like a 4'11 It reminds me a lot of Mom, basically.
I think you need to clarify. We just got done talking about the IOOF and the OTO. You need to clarify what secret society Rachel Ray is in. That is that initials are OVOO.
EVOO. Extra virgin olive oil is the secret society she's in there. If you say EVOO out loud in a grocery store, you'll be in a secret society with other people who watch 30-minute meals religiously, like I did.
What was her other 30-minute meals, $30 a day. Yes, yeah, she would always end up saying EVOO at some point. I heard about that. I heard that she got just destroyed with you know, like basically a denial of service attack with people talking about how she cheated. I thought it was that she cheated on, or she had an affair with Jay-Z. That's what they thought, right?
That's what they're thinking. So the cool thing for Rachel Ray is she might be able to get Beyonce on her show now pretty easily. Beyonce's going to be like damage control here. Like
they have to quash this beef. You know, this is.
So I tried to do a clever tweet, but I was 2 days too late. So I tweeted Rachel Ray. I said, "Oh, I've been off Twitter 2 days. I think your hair is perfect, honey." So I'm mentioning honey and Rachel Ray all in the same tweet. It's too meta. Maybe it's too late, but I missed my window there.
Did you hashtag lemonade it? Because hashtag lemonade had just about a million hashtags last night when I was online and was promoting one of our stories, and I noticed this morning that so about a million tweets and retweets there for hashtag lemonade because of Beyonce's amazing new album coming out, and that being the case, this morning you would imagine the same amount of hashtaggery would be going on, right? Still in the millions, in the low millions, right?
Twitter has the shortest attention span of anything on the planet.
Well, yeah, but here's my issue. The trending list today had no mention, not only of Beyonce's album, but which is still trending high in topics around the internet, but it had overtly pro-Hillary hashtags, nothing about Bernie or Trump, and which never Trump and never Hillary and Bernie hashtags are. And also pro-Trump hashtags are still circulating widely around the internet and more popular than some of the pro-Hillary things that were up on the trending list on the side of the screen, which I took a screenshot of. And, I think there's some money-changing hands to get stuff placed because you know that that is possible. It's been
revealed that Hillary's camp has spent at least $1 million just on Reddit, having people correct, in scare quotes, things people have said.
You mean they say something true about her? Like, hey, she's basically has a money laundering scheme called a charity that she gets money from homophobic, racist dictators in other countries. And then somebody jumps in going, "No, that's not accurate." Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And then because Reddit uses an upvoting, downvoting system, suddenly any critique of Hillary will get downvoted to oblivion where people can't see it unless they have their...
If somebody says Hillary Clinton is fighting for women's rights to be paid equally, But whenever she has the ability to pay women, and she has the higher fire and money disposal powers over another woman, she doesn't pay them as much as a man herself. Is that what you're saying? Like stuff like when people say facts about her like that?
Yeah, that's the kind of facts that get buried. Yes.
Yeah. That's why she likes Huma. That's why Huma's her chief of staff there. She likes hiring on a budget.
Now I and here's the thing. There are blatantly bizarre sexist things that happen, like Reebok released alien stomper shoes based on the movie Aliens, only in men's sizes. That's completely crazy, because who wore them in the movie? One of the baddest, most awesome female protagonists ever.
Yeah.
I watched Alien when I was so young that I didn't even really piece it together, like, oh, this is amazing, you have a female action hero. I was just like, holy crap, you have a scary, terrifying action movie here. The fact that it was a woman, you know, didn't even enter in my mind as a kid. And
yeah.
Now looking back, it's like, wow, she was right up there with Arnold Schwarzenegger, with Stallone, with all the 80s action heroes.
Yeah.
And then even...
That's why I always want people, I always like people that watch sci-fi. Because, yeah, sci-fi always had a multicolored, not gender-driven, but male and female cast. Like, you're talking Star Trek and Aliens, I always remember Event Horizon. I remember watching the movie Event Horizon when I was growing up, and that was the scariest science fiction flick ever. It defined horror for me, and it defined sci-fi for me. It was probably the coolest sci-fi horror flick to come out the category sci-fi horror is pretty narrow, so I'd say it's probably the best sci-fi horror film of all time, but probably the best horror flick in the late 90s there. I would love for somebody to angrily call us at 856-67-SULLY and tell me which sci-fi horror film was better than Event Horizon in the late 90s. Whenever that joke, and it's been said a billion times, that, oh, and everyone keeps making this joke too, oh, if you're in a horror movie, don't be the black guy. And I don't know if anyone's seen Event Horizon, but there were two black main characters that were, as far as people go in that movie, they lasted... I don't want to give away any spoilers. I'm just going to tell you, they lasted longer than most, if not all. Okay, so go watch the movie Event Horizon. It busted stereotypes. It made just a genre of its own that was so gross and cool and science fiction and inspiring. Kimball's a creep. That's what I gotta say. Such a good creepy guy. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What are you saying?
Well, this episode we have to keep at a sprint pace because I've only got 6 more minutes. But
distracted and talking about cool movies. But yeah, please continue.
Last time we talked, we were talking about religious freedom, and then just in the news, there was an amazing religious freedom bill, there's a case in Idaho, and I'll send you the link, and you don't have to respond now because we have a limited amount of time. I'll let you think of a reasoned response, but there's a woman in Idaho who was raised by fundamentalist Mormon parents who denied her getting a hole in her heart repaired as a baby because it conflicted with their religious views. And now that she's an adult, she's suing her parents and the state, wanting her parents to face criminal charges for that. But Idaho has on the books a religious freedom exemption law that prevents them from being prosecuted because it was their firmly held religious beliefs. And she is going to die because of their religious beliefs. She has a terrible quality of life and a much shortened lifespan. It's an easily fixable thing if you're a baby. It's a not fixable thing if you're an adult. So she's going to die, and it's because of her parents' firmly held religious beliefs. So the libertarian response is, hey, yeah, the parents should completely be responsible for that. That's putting the child's life in jeopardy. But the question is, you know, as it's put now, the typical Republican response would be like, no, of course not. It shouldn't be. There should be no prosecution for the parents. So I just wanted to, I'll throw that at you. You don't have to respond now, but I'll send you the link to the article.
Yeah, please do. That is a real brain crusher. I cannot.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's absolutely heartbreaking. I do not understand why people subscribe to religious beliefs like that. And it always challenges the concept of religious freedom. Whenever you can find an example like that, it always makes people go, oh gosh, maybe we shouldn't have all these religious freedom exemptions, this, that, and the other.
Ludicrous. In other words, okay, let's establish the terms of what we're talking about, and then let's take it to its logical, ludicrous conclusion, and can we still live with the ludicrous conclusion?
Yeah.
And if we can, then yes, it's a good thing. If we can't, then there's something wrong with the original argument.
Yeah. Well, it is okay. If you've seen the movie The Believer with Ryan Gosling in it, that's a pretty interesting movie. It's very convoluted, but it's about a guy who was raised Jewish who became a neo-Nazi, and it's a fiction, but it's about internal conflict and racism, rebellion. All these concepts are brought in and challenged and broken down. But one of the scenes that sticks out and makes me think of the religious freedom activist is where him and neo-Nazis go and harass a kosher deli. They sit down and harass the guys in a kosher deli, and then they fight with them when they try to exit. They try to force them out of the restaurant. And I thought of it, I was like, this is the extreme in the other way. If you think of the concept of you should always have the right to be fed at an establishment, well, okay, what about a Jewish deli and somebody's demanding for them to mix meat with cheese or for them to serve them something unkosher, and they're being demanding and insistent and rude and harassing because they're of a different belief set? Would that person then, if you take away all basically owner rights of restaurants and businesses, and you take those away from the people, would that guy be able to say, hey, get out of my restaurant. I'm not going to serve you anything. Or would that neo-Nazi be protected and be allowed to stay in there and harass the Jewish store clerks as much as they want? Because it's their freedom. So
very good, yeah.
Yeah, so throwing another crazy wrench in things there. We'll try to take a look at that.
All right, we're gonna punch out. But as was mentioned on the, I think it was Joshua that mentioned, if you're Filipino, outside of your country, you can go to your consulate and vote starting today. Actually, starting yesterday, timeline wise, all the way up to the 9th. And so get voting in your election.
And if you're a Filipino in the DC area, do you have like 4 consulates? I don't know why. There honestly is like 3 of them. I don't know what they all are. I need to figure that one out. I'll have to ask my wife why they have so many in DC. All right. All right. Thank you, Tech. This has gone demanding everyone please think critically and keep talking it out.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.